Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
How are you guys doing? Yeah. Well, first, let me say it's an honor to be with you today, and I'm so thankful to be able to share with you some things today. And I'm thankful for the leadership of our pastor, Trey, and him giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. For those of you that I haven't had an opportunity to meet, my name is Eric Colquitt, and I am the Connection Pastor here. And I love this place. And because I love this place, I have loved this series we've been in. How about you guys? Have you enjoyed it? It's been good, right? Well, and if you've been here, you've discovered with us that we've been talking about the things that we're passionate about, the things that are important to us, the things that are our values, what our squad goals are. And if you've been here, you've seen, and as we've talked through these, that they are our core values. These are the things that are important to us. These are our goals. So let's check them out. Our core values are this. We will be known for what we are for. We are rescue people who rescue people. We invite people to belong before they believe. We believe circles are better than rows, and we get to give. And ultimately, every single one of these things helps us reach our mission, which is to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And for some of you here today, you would say that some of these goals, some of these values that we find important have changed your life. And that's amazing. And for some of you, you'd even say, well, hey, my family has decided to adopt these as our own squad goals. And that's awesome, too. And individually, it's important for each one of us to know what these goals are, what these values are. It's important for us to know them as individuals. But we are a squad. So shouldn't we want to be the best squad possible? Well, how do we do that? Last week, if you were here, Trey pointed us in the right direction. He showed us how we do that. Check this out. I love this point from last week. Our squad is most effective when you are most engaged. Our squad is most effective when you are most engaged. And we learned last week that all of us have been given gifts by God to play a role in His story. And many of you last week joined one of our amazing volunteer teams. And you began to take that step. Some of you even served for the first time today, and that's incredible. Because all of us have been given gifts by God to play a role in His story. So let me ask you a question. If our squad is most effective when you are most engaged, I think we need to figure out how to remain engaged. How do we remain engaged? How do we remain active in the squad that we're a part of? Well, that's the question I want us to wrestle with today. I want us to figure out today. And I just want to share with you a little bit of what I have learned over the past 17 years being a part of teams. And for some of you here today, this is your first time. And we are thrilled that you're here. Somebody's been trying to invite you for a long time, and you found yourself here. And maybe you're just checking out the God thing, and that's okay. I'd encourage you to lean in today, because I believe that what we talk about today, you can take with you and use in all aspects of your life. And so to kind of frame our story today, to kind of talk, to kind of pick up where we're going, I wanted to look at one of my favorite people in the Bible. His name is Daniel. And his story is found in our Old Testament. It's the first big part of the Bible. And what we're going to look at is just a segment of Daniel's life. And we're going to learn some important things about how to continue to be an effective squad. Daniel lived in 600 BC. And at this time in history, the nation of Babylon had captured the nation of Israel. And Babylon's plan was to go into the nation of Israel and find its best and brightest people, bring them back to Babylon, train them, and then send them back so that they would know the Babylonian ways. And that's exactly where Daniel and his three friends found themselves. They were amongst those that were captured and brought back. Now, let me explain what a captive was for these guys. It's different than what you might be thinking. You see, Daniel and his friends were brought as captives to live in the royal palace. They were given a nice place to live. They were given nice clothes. And they were even given a special diet. that the king himself was on and was asking them to do. Let me ask you this. How many of you know that being a part of a team, being a part of an organization, being a part of a squad, that you completely agree with the leadership is a great place to be? That's a great organization to work. It's a great place to do business. It is. Well, that's not where Daniel found himself. He not only was a captive brought into a foreign land, but he also found himself in a squad with a group of people where he disagreed with something that the leadership had told him. And that's where we're going to pick up our story today. Let's go to Daniel 1. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and they would enter the royal service. So as I said, the king had given them a special diet. Well, Daniel had a problem with this diet. Let's keep going. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. You see, Daniel and his friends were Jewish, so they had strict dietary laws. And so, as I said, where Daniel found himself, he found himself in a position where he disagreed with what the leadership, what the people above him were telling him to do. And so what he decided to do in this moment is just try to figure out a way where he could operate within these rules and move forward. So what he decided to do is to go to the chief of staff. And he said, hey, let us think about trying to eat something different. I don't know about you, but that's pretty bold, right? Not only is he a captive, but now he's trying to go against what the king himself has asked him to do. Let's see what happened. Fortunately for Daniel, the chief of staff already liked him. Let's keep going. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. We're like, okay, awesome. It's settled then, right? Well, not exactly. See, the chief of staff didn't share the same level of boldness that Daniel had. Let's keep going. But he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. So the chief of staff was like, yeah, man, I see your point, but I kind of want to keep my head. So what Daniel decided to do was he decided to go to the person directly under the chief of staff, the person that was directly over he and his friends. And he said, hey, man, we would like to try a different diet. We would like to try to eat something for 10 days. Test us. See what happens. See if we eat our food and then you guys eat your food, let's see what happens. So that's exactly what they did. Let's see what happened. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked to them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are his friends. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. You see, I love this story for many reasons. I love it because Daniel was passionate about his convictions. But he was also able to harness those his passions in a way that honored those that were above him. And I believe that this sets up for us the first way that we can remain fully engaged squad members to be an effective squad. We must realize that we need to identify the leader and follow that leader. To be a fully engaged squad member, you must identify the leader and follow that leader. That's exactly where Daniel found himself. Think about it. Everything you're a part of, every squad, every team, there's always a leader. And the important thing is to identify that leader and follow the leader. So what did Daniel do? Well, he could have easily disobeyed the king and kind of followed his convictions. Or he could have followed the king and disobeyed everything that he had been taught and brought up with. Put yourself in Daniel's shoes. What would you have done? Are you the type of person that kind of listens to the authorities above you and kind of forgets about your values? Or are you the type of person that kind of does what you think is best because you think you know you're right? Maybe you've been in a situation like that before. Maybe your boss has asked you to do something that was against what you thought was right and what your values were. Maybe you're in a friendship squad, students. Maybe your friends around you are asking you to do something that you know is not right. How do you handle that situation? What do you do in these moments? Well, as it turns out, Daniel figured out a way to not only go by his convictions to honor what he was brought up, but he also figured out a way to honor the king above him. You see, he had passionate convictions, but instead of recklessly pursuing those convictions, he chose honor. He chose to be a great team player. He chose to remain engaged. To be a fully engaged squad member, we must identify the leader and follow that leader. Daniel ultimately followed his leader, and the king rewarded him with more responsibility, and God rewarded him. Now, I know some of you are struggling with this point a little bit, because some of you in the room are the leader. You started your own company. You call the shots. You are the leader. So it's not hard to figure out who that is in your situation. But all of us ultimately have an authority above us. All of us ultimately have people above us that tell us what to do. How do you operate in that? How do you honor those that are above you? At school, how do you do it? At work, how do you do it? How about the government and the laws of the land? How do you operate under the authority that's been put above you? How do we honor people? What is honor? When I think about honor, I think about scales. You see, honor kind of, it brings weight to one side. It elevates the other side. I think there's some other things that we can discover about honor. Honor is a God thing. Honor is a God thing. You see, I don't know that we can truly honor someone unless we know God. It's a God thing. God gives us that ability to honor people. Honor is a choice. It's a choice. Because I believe it's a God thing, I believe it's your choice. Because without God, we're not going to choose to honor. We're going to choose to be selfish and honor ourselves. So honor is a choice. Honor is also something to guard. Honor is something to guard. We've all been in organizations before. We've all been in teams before where honor is not guarded. What happens in those moments? What happens when honor goes away from the leadership and people start doing whatever they want to do? Disunity happens. Disorder happens. The company begins to go off the rail. The team begins to not succeed. So honor is something that we have to guard in order to be an effective team, in order to be an effective squad. Finally, honor is being attacked. Honor is constantly being attacked. Think about our society today. Our society feels like it's a fun thing to do to dishonor people, dishonor things. Just think about our political world. It's a toxic environment in our politics. Each party seeks to dishonor the other side all the time. No matter who the president ultimately is, the other party seeks to tear down the president. It seeks to dishonor. So honor is constantly being attacked. Someone who dishonors someone always takes things lightly. So in order to understand who our leader is, in order to be able to follow that leader, we have to figure out how to honor them. That's how we remain fully engaged. Well, what does that look like in our context? What does it mean for us here? Well, at Wellspring, we are under the leadership and the authority of our pastor, Trey. Hopefully, you were here a few weeks ago, and you heard the amazing story about how God called him to plant this church, to start this church. You see, this church wasn't started lightly. It wasn't started because it was the fun thing to do. No, it was started out of a deep conviction, a deep calling that God placed on Trey's life. And as squad members here, we should submit to his authority, to his leadership, because ultimately Trey is under God's authority. And in order to be a fully engaged squad member here, we must identify the leader and follow that leader. Well, there's another way that I believe that we can continue to be fully engaged. Beyond identifying the leader and following that leader, there's something else that we can do to continue to be a fully engaged squad member. But before I tell you that, I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I want to tell you about how I was called into ministry. I've never shared this from stage before, but I think it will set up our next point perfectly. I, like Trey, grew up in church. My earliest memories had to do with church. Everything we were doing revolved around the church. My dad is still a pastor to this day. And so we were there all the time. I became a Christ follower at the age of 11. And as a teenager, I began to feel like that God was calling me into ministry. I didn't really know what that meant at that point, but I felt like that's where he was leading me. I graduated high school, and I went on to Auburn. That's right, Auburn. War Eagle anyway. You Clemson fans are happy. Congratulations. It was a good win. Whatever. It's going to be a fun season. So I went to Auburn. About the time I got to Auburn, I joined a church there. And about the same time I joined the church there, the church hired a new college pastor. And I got a front row seat, and I got to help grow a ministry from 30 students a week to over 700 students a week. It was an amazing time. And God grew some ministry muscles within me there, and I learned a lot. While I was at Auburn, I got an opportunity to attend an event that I can only describe as Christian Woodstock. Christian Woodstock. We went to a giant field. There were 30,000 other college students there. We slept in tents. We didn't take baths. It rained a lot. We gathered around a huge stage and listened to singers and heard awesome speakers. And on May 20th, 2000, God confirmed my calling into ministry. It was an amazing time. But I went back to school, went back to Auburn, and kept going there. And I was a little bit confused after that moment because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was calling me into ministry. But I didn't know what that meant. I still was unsure about exactly what that looked like. I was in the Baptist world at that time. I grew up Baptist. And in the Baptist world, when you're called into ministry, you're supposed to be a missionary, a youth pastor, or a senior pastor. Well, I didn't feel like I was fully equipped or called to be any of those, so I was confused. So I decided to go on to seminary, and I hoped God would sort it out there. Well, when I got to seminary, guess what? I met Trey Kelly. Trey and I had same classes together, and we also attended the same church together. And we got an opportunity to help start Keystone Church. Hopefully you were here during the summer. You heard the pastor of Keystone, Brandon, speak. It's an amazing church. And at Keystone, I began to play my role on that team. I began to learn to use the muscles that God had been equipping me with and to play my role there. And in 2010, I accepted God's call here to be a part of this amazing work as Wellspring was just starting. And I began to play my role here in whatever capacity that God had me. Now you're saying, that's a great story, Eric. Well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, there's another way that I believe that we can remain fully engaged, and it's this. I believe that not all of us are called to be the leader, but all of us are called to lead. In order to be fully engaged squad member, we must realize that not all of us are called to be the leader, but all of us are called to lead. As we learned last week, we've all been gifted with gifts and abilities from God to play a role in His story. So we should use those gifts and abilities to lead in whatever capacity, whatever area that God has placed us. Let's go back to Daniel. We already know that he was a great leader because he honored those above him, and he remained engaged in that way. But there's some other things that we can learn from his life to know that he was not the leader, but he was leading. The next part of the story we're going to look at is a little bit later on. There's a new king in place in the kingdom. And he's beginning to put new things in order, organize in a different way. And he's looking around him to see who he can tap to lead the different areas. And when he looked around, he found Daniel. Check this out. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interest. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers, Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. So Daniel was a leader. It didn't matter where he was. He was a captive in a foreign land, but he led. And the king noticed, and he made plans to place him over the entire empire. A captive brought from another land came in and was placed in such a high position. Why? Because he realized that he wasn't the leader, but he was going to lead. And that's what he did. Not only did the king notice this, but others in the administration noticed as well. Let's keep reading. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. He was faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. Daniel was a leader. Daniel was a leader, and the people around him became jealous of him because of how much success he was having. He was leading no matter where he found himself. He knew that to be fully engaged, he must identify the leader and follow that leader, and he must lead no matter what. So, let me ask you a question. What do you do well? What are the things that God's gifted you to do? What are your abilities? Maybe you found yourself in an organization and you're climbing the ladder and you just feel like you can't break through to the next level and you don't know what to do. You're stuck. What should you do? Should you just quit? Should you find another career? Or maybe you could figure out other ways you can lead. Are there people around you that you could help pull up and help them become leaders as well? Is there ways that you can support the bosses ahead of you even more? What could you do? Students, maybe you're on a team, and maybe you're not the team captain, and you're never going to be the team captain, and you're just a part of the team. What should you do in these moments? Should you just quit? Should you just continue to be a part of the team? Or maybe you could find different ways to support the coach. Maybe you could find the other underclassmen and help them learn the skills that are necessary to be a good team. What could you do? Maybe you find yourself in a marriage, ladies, that you know it's not necessarily God-honoring, that your husband doesn't follow God like you do, and you don't know what to do. You feel stuck. What could you do? Could you pray, continue to pray for your husband? Could you continue to lead and follow God as hard as you can do, no matter what? How about this context? Maybe you found yourself here at Wellspring, and you feel like you've got a lot to offer, and our churches continue to grow, and people around you have been asked to lead things, but you haven't. What should you do in these moments? Should you just continue to just attend and let that be it? Maybe you're thinking about just going to another church where they think you'll be more valuable. Or could you support the people that are in front of you? The team leaders that are leading, could you come beside them and say, hey, what can I do to make our team the best? Could you pray for them? Maybe you are the person in your friendship circle that could be the spark to have them begin to serve or join a community group. Look around you. The point is, not all of us are called to lead, to be the leader, but all of us are called to lead. Figure out ways around you to lead as well. That's exactly what Daniel did. He figured out ways that he could lead no matter where he was. To be fully engaged, we must identify the leader and follow that leader. We must realize that we're not all called to be that leader, but we are called to lead. Now, for some of you I know, these two points are okay, but you're not satisfied. Because you feel like you're supposed to be the person that is the leader. And that everything you're doing, everything you're working on, the schooling you're doing, you're pushing to be the top person. And that's okay, and maybe that is right. But sometimes you feel like you're never going to be happy with that. You're never going to be fully satisfied there. And that kind of brings us to our third point. And this is more of an emotional side of what we're talking about today. It kind of jumps off of the last point. You see, I believe there's something else we must do to continue to be fully engaged squad members. is this. We must realize that your position doesn't determine your purpose. Your position doesn't determine your purpose. I hope I can help some of you today. Because if you find yourself here today, and you're the person, you find yourself, you're just cleaning toilets all day long. That's your job. I want you to know that your purpose is greater than that. Maybe you're in an organization and you are that person that can't break through. You don't know what to do. You're stuck. I want you to know that your purpose is greater. Maybe you found yourself in a job and it's just a job. It's just, there's no passion there. You're just doing it to pay bills. I want you to know that your purpose is greater. If you find yourself in a place and you feel like you've got good ideas that will help the organization grow and move forward, but no one seems to listen to you, your position doesn't determine your purpose. Your purpose is greater. Know that today. But for some of us, we feel like we'll never be content because we're not the top person. Our definition of success means that you are at the very top, and that's just a flawed definition of success. To know truly that your position doesn't determine your purpose comes down to one thing. It comes down to being content. Each and every one of us, every day, have a choice to make. We have a choice to make, rather to either be content or be resentful. We can have contentment or resentment. Think about Daniel. He was a captive brought to a foreign land. I'm sure that's not the plans he had for where his life would be. In that moment, he had a choice to make to either be content or to resent it. He chose contentment. And not only did the king realize that and elevate him, but God also rewarded him greatly. What is your choice going to be? Are you going to resent your parents, your boss, your employers, or your coach? Are you going to resent God for where you are? Each of us have a choice to make every day. We can choose contentment because our position does not determine our purpose. Let me talk to the Christ followers in the room, those of you who know God. Another one of the many reasons it's amazing to know God deals with this point. Because each and every day, before our feet hit the floor, we can know that our purpose is greater. Because we have the highest purpose imaginable. Because God has given us, each one of us, the task every day to be His representative. To draw all people to Himself. He's asked all of us to be His ambassadors. To tell others about Him. So our purpose is always going to be greater. No matter what position we find ourselves in, we can always choose contentment. To be a fully engaged squad member, to be an effective squad, we must be fully engaged. And to be a fully engaged squad member, we must identify the leader and follow that leader. We must also realize that not all of us are called to be the leader, but all of us are called to lead. And we must know that your position doesn't determine your purpose. Before we leave today, I want to let you have or give you four things that you can do when you go back to work on Tuesday. Four things that you can do. They're action steps. Every meeting I'm a part of, I want to leave with an action step. And that's what I want to leave you here today with. Every Sunday at Wellspring, our pastor Trey works really hard to give you something to walk out the door with, to work on. That's what this is. If you work on these four things, I believe they will help you accomplish what we've been talking about. So the first one, number one, be a pulse taker. Be a pulse taker. What does that mean? One of the best things that you can do in any team, any squad that you're a part of, is to learn how to read the atmosphere around you. Learn how to know what's going on around you so that you can help the person above you. As leaders in organizations, it's important to know how the organization is moving and working. And so to know what the team is doing is important. So if you're on that team, figure out ways to read the atmosphere around you and figure out ways to communicate that in a good way to those above you. Number two, be a vision amplifier. Know, first of all, figure out what the vision of the organization, squad, team you're a part of is. Know the vision, and then repeat the vision. If you do that, you will honor those that are above you. You will lead, even if you aren't the leader. Number three, be a leader multiplier. Be a leader multiplier. We talked about this a few minutes ago. Figure out those that are around you that you can bring up to be leaders themselves. When you do that, your organization grows strength. When more people are leading, that's better for the whole organization. So figure out ways that you can multiply leaders around you. Number four, be a gap filler. Be a gap filler. What does that mean? Well, from time to time in organizations and in squads, there are opportunities present themselves, and there's a gap that opens up. And leaders are always looking for people to step into those gaps, to fill those gaps. Be a person that steps up and fills the gap, because that helps your organization accomplish all that it's supposed to. Maybe you feel like you've got a lot on your plate already, and that will be impossible. Well, step up and fill the gap, because that will help your organization be better. These are just some things that I think you can do to work on as whatever organization, whatever your squad you're a part of. And how do we be a good squad? How do we be an effective team? Well, it starts by knowing the leader and following that leader. It starts by realizing that you can lead no matter what area you're in. And it also begins with knowing that your position on whatever team you're a part of doesn't determine your purpose. So let's be an effective squad here, because we have the greatest mission possible. Our mission is to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. So let's be as effective as possible we can in that. And that means we should be fully engaged at being a part of this team. In just a minute, the band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing a song. And as we sing that song, think about the things we've talked about today. Think about ways that you can continue to be an engaged member of whatever team you're a part of, whatever squad you are a part of. And let God speak to you about ways that you can improve maybe your contentment. Maybe you found yourself in a place where you just resent everything around you. You resent your lot in life. Maybe God can heal that in you today as we sing. Ask God to do that. Before we close, I want to leave you with one verse that I think wraps up this entire message. It comes from Paul. We talk about him all the time. He wrote half of the New Testament. It's found in Colossians. Check this out. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. And whatever you do, work as though you're doing it for God. And that's how you can be fully engaged. And that's how you can be an effective squad. Let's pray together. Lord, we just honor you today. We thank you for this awesome privilege to be here today and to learn from you. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us this week. I pray that you will show us opportunities in whatever team, whatever squad, whatever organization we're a part of, where we can continue to be fully engaged. And Lord, I pray that you will help us be engaged in those things. Help us as a church be effective at the mission that you've placed on us. We thank you for all that you continue to do in and through us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.